Welcome to Marketers Talking Marketing.
Larissa, thank you so much for joining us today. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so super excited to be here, Jess. Thanks. So my name is Larissa Uretti. I am the CEO of Nowhere Consultants. Outside of running that agency, right, which our emphasis is really on technical development, strategic marketing for mid-sized organizations, right? But outside of that, like, I'm a huge like mountain biker, love to play outside as much as humanly possible. Just really excited to be here to chat through some different ideas.
Yeah. So let's dive straight into it. As we were prepping for this episode, we talked a little bit about strategy and how I think we've all seen there's so many resources out there on how to do tactical things, and people love them, right? Because it's a to-do list. It's super, super clear. I do this thing and then I have success somewhere. But what seems to be missing for a lot of people is that strategy, like how to do the strategy component, how to really think through everything. It sounds like that's what you're seeing in your day to day.
Absolutely. And we see it across all sizes of entrepreneurs. We see it across all sizes of organizations. It doesn't really matter how many employees you have. At the core of a lot of the struggles that we run into, right, is like, yeah, really, really not being clear on like that next step and how to prioritize. And I think that's where strategy really comes into play.
Yeah. It always makes me think of people who go out and like buy Salesforce, but don't have a Salesforce admin.
Right. 100%.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah. They'll jump into, you know, three or four different systems that all kind of do the same thing, but like, and it's because they're not really sure what they're trying to accomplish. Even just personally, right? I remember for the longest time I was like CRM shopping. I could not find a CRM that I liked. And it was because I realized that like I didn't actually have a CRM problem. Like I didn't actually, like the thing that I was trying to solve for was not rooted in the system, right? And so the reason that I kept finding a system that didn't do what I needed it to do was because I was chasing the wrong thing.
Oh my God. Flashbacks to 9 months into a tool rollout and it doesn't work because the underlying data is missing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The overall goal is actually not what this thing is supposed to do.
Yeah. So where does someone start? What's the jumping off point?
For strategy in general or like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that a good strategy really comes down to being able to center like not just why you yourself are in business, right? But really what your ideal customer or target customer needs. And I know that sounds cliche, right? But it is playing the why game until you get so specific and so clear on what it is that you are driving towards, right? For that customer on an emotional level, on a practical level, really understanding like what they're after, so that you can use that as kind of your beacon, right? And then from there, you can say, okay, if this is really my end goal, right, is to serve customers in this way, because this is the need that they've told me, right, that their burning desire to help them solve. Then you can say, okay, well, what is the next sort of simple, logical step from there, right? And I think that where that starts to get clear on that answer is talking to the customers. So product market research at every stage of business is crucial. And so many entrepreneurs, when they start off, they don't know what to say and they don't really know what they're doing. And so they don't talk to anybody, right? Except their peers. And then they don't know how to answer any of these questions. And it's like, well, how do you talk to 100 people that you think you might be able to sell something to?
I know. I laugh because it's such a basic recommendation, but it is missed by so many people.
Yeah. And I think it's basic because it's fundamental, right? It is foundational. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that like, I mean, we recently went through a scaling workshop, right? Or cohort, I should say, that was, you know, 17 weeks long. And at the end of the day, I mean, they had us pull out our customer journey map and an old, like they had us go back and interview new customers, even at, you know, our size of business, right? Where we are not, you know, just starting off, right? We've been doing this for a while. And I remember thinking like, seriously, right? Like, but don't I already know what my customers want? And they're like, well, you know what your current customers want, but now you're trying to scale. So how about you need to now go figure out you know, are there more than you even currently have right now that are really after this, you know, or where has this left you? And I remember thinking, like, I can't believe I have to go back and do this. And also then realizing, like, oh, I get it. This never ends. This never goes away. It is always the customer, right? Always the potential customer that is driving your business decisions. Period.
Oh, yeah. The most successful companies are ones that are really embedded with their customer mm-hmm. and understanding their pain points, why they buy, what motivates them, drives them. It's like, I think for some people, maybe it's a little scary or a little intimidating to want to go talk to your customer about something that maybe isn't all the way flushed out too. But I can say anecdotally, we recently, for my agency, updated our messaging and positioning. And we went out and just said, you know, we're looking for anyone. So we're all in on HubSpot. So we said, we're looking for anyone who's bought HubSpot or who buys HubSpot. Can we get some feedback? And we felt really good about our messaging that we had created. And then we started getting feedback and someone asked questions that really was a turning point for us to spark a totally different change we never would have predicted. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, oh shit, this is great. Because some random person in a networking group agreed to give us feedback on messaging because they were in our ICP, but we never talked to them before.
No, 100%. And I think it's interesting that you say that because, like, you know, like we're currently building like a new product right internally, and the first place that I started because I was like, okay, I have this hunch, right? Because I've seen this thing over and over and over again, and so like I have a theory, and I literally put like a shout out onto, you know, my social feed and was like, hey, if you fit this profile, would you like take 30 minutes and just talk to me about what you do? And I remember I got on those calls and I mean, the first couple ones were rough. Like, I'm not shy, but like, I definitely was like, I don't really know what I'm going to ask you. I think just start by talking to me about what it's like to be you as a business in your business. And I just started taking notes. And it wasn't until I pulled back and was like, okay, like you can start to see the commonalities in the thread. Right. And I think that that is, It takes a level of being vulnerable and willing to say like, hey, I don't actually have the answers, but I want to deliver something that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so many, I think when you're first starting, especially like so many of the gurus out there are like, well, if you don't have shit together, then like, why are you even doing this, brah? And like, that's just not how people work.
People are really understanding of what it's like to build something and to kind of need. I like that you said vulnerability because that is what it is. You're coming in and saying, I'm not really sure that like this is what I want to say or what I want to do or like where we're at. Like, what do you think of it? Uh-huh. And someone could say like, your idea is stupid and you're stupid and your stupid right. face and right. break
no
your soul.
Does, right? I mean, I think the harshest feedback that we've gotten is like what you said doesn't make any sense to me. Like you need to dumb that down. And I was like, okay. And in that moment, you're like, all right, well, I thought I was being super clear. And so you kind of keep trying, right? And you workshop it together. And I think that, it's been really interesting. And then I think, you know, once you kind of have those, you know, those touch points, right? Where I'm reading a book right now called Leadership on the Line that is absolutely brilliant. And it talks about centering the people that you're trying to serve, right? Really making them the whole focus, right? Like the entire focus of what you're doing. And if you can continue to bring yourself back to that kind of amidst all the distractions from that, you start to build a strategy that is really based on service. And I think that is, and it stops you from building things that nobody wants. Like just because you think that something is cool, like does not actually mean that you are your customer.
Oh my God, the number of products that exist because someone just decided to build it without doing any research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, totally. Or the number of times, I mean, we've done it ourselves where we're like, oh man, this would be super powerful and so cool that we can do it. And then you realize that like, that is just not how, you know, the person you're trying to help, that's not how their customers think, right? It's not important to them. And you could have saved yourself the time, effort, and energy and your customers' time, effort, and energy, right? By getting clearer on that to begin with and being like, oh, this doesn't matter. You have to be willing to kill your babies.
That being willing to kill your babies is a key point. Because I think even when it comes to asking for feedback, some people don't want to hear it.
They don't want to be told no.
Right.
They love it. Yeah. It's their sacred cow. And like, you have to be willing to be told like, hey, no one wants this. No one is willing to pay for this. Go back and try again.
Yeah. It's It's a reality some people will never accept.
100%. But I think, you know, to your point about how do you get there, right? I think it does come down to like reminding yourself that no matter what size company you are, no matter how much you think you have figured out, like you are serving people at the end of the day, right? And without their direct input into what matters to them, right? And what, you know, yeah, what really resonates with them, like you're gonna always be just kind of like shooting from the hip.
Yeah. So with your CRM example you gave earlier, you said you realized that you didn't have a CRM problem. And if you don't have a CRM problem, you're not going to find a CRM that works for you. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. What helped you get there to realize like what the true issue was?
So it was funny. It was really organic. So I remember ultimately what we needed at the time was project management. So what I kept trying to look for was like, I need updated communication on like where things stand and the last thing that the client asked for and like all this kind of stuff, right? And I kept looking at all these CRMs and I was like, well, why isn't it, you know? And yes, I wanted some deal tracking, right? I wanted some aspect of like customer journey of like, oh, they came in, they purchased, you know, did all this. But I realized I was trying to smash kind of two things into one. And it was funny, the moment that I realized that what we needed was a CRM, we had hired a team. And I remember I said, and it was funny to me in the moment, because I remember I said, I just wish that there was a place where we had centralized communication about our team, right? Like what was the last thing that the team said? Like, I need to go back and be able to see like the email chain so that I can hop in and be able to service this customer. Those conversations don't go in your project management system, right? They live in a CRM. And so it was that like aha moment where I was like, oh, this is, and then as soon as I approached it from, I need a centralized communication within my own team dynamics, right? And really understanding who has said what and when the last time the customer replied was and what the follow-up needs to be and a place to store that more personalized data, right? And information and like, no, hey, did we get the bid out the door that we said we would send, right? You know, oh, hey, can someone else submit the final invoice for payment? That is when I was like, oh, this is a CRM problem. That other thing was literally me just trying to get organized on like a project level to know who's in charge of what and where are we.
Yeah. Do you have a CRM that is your go-to now that you really liked and settled on?
So we do use HubSpot. I don't love it. I know that that's your thing, but like there, it leaves a lot to be desired. Yeah, it leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to the billing and like that, the accounting side of things. It just does not. In some ways, it's great. It is very good at like being quick to get money in your hands. Like it's very good at being like, oh, here's all these different ways that you can send it a payment link or an invoice or a quote. But then it has some quirks that I'm like, guys, we need to be able to bill in half-hour increments. Like, why can't I submit a 2.5-hour estimate? Like I need to, it'll just round up, right? So, like, little things like that, and like, when you're talking about, like, yeah, it just doesn't work. And so there's just little things like that where it's, like, but yeah, so we did ultimately, I mean, what I like about it is that it does have, it does do a good job of that centralized communication, so you can make sure that everyone, you know, if I've replied and my project manager's replied and my, you know, and a VA hops in and needs to be able to see what's going on, it's all right there in the customer record. You can generally see what's attached to it. So it's been fine. You know, and the price point can be manageable. I do appreciate that about them. But yeah, we did finally get there.
Yeah. No, I think oftentimes tools come down to just what works best with your process, because no one's process is really the same. Even if there's like best practices and recommendations,
right,
ultimately it ends up customized for, you know, your team and how your team works.
100%. I mean, we are a very email communication heavy organization, right? You don't have we don't have call tracking, we're not doing outbound sales calls, we're not doing any of that. And so the thing that was nice was that like it doesn't force you to have like all recording, and like you can kind of opt out of that and be like, I don't really need that. Conversely, we also like, we build websites for a living. It's like, I'm not going to probably use your landing page, right? Yeah. Like, I don't need you to provide me with this. Like, I'm going to embed things. I'm going to handle things differently because I have a very specific, like, we have the technical capacity to do more sophisticated stuff than what comes out of the box with HubSpot. And so it's nice to just kind of be able to say, like, yeah, I don't really need this, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, tools that play together, I think, are the ones that will win in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I'm going to get more embedded in strategy now. I've been doing a lot of tactical stuff. I'm going to start going down the strategy path. We talked about how they can get started. What else should they know?
Yeah. So I think it's important to know that your strategy is going to, it is not a fixed thing. Right. Like there is a difference between your strategy and your vision. Right. And so like your vision can be, you know, to change the world when it comes to childcare. I don't know. Right. Fix the broken childcare system. Like that can be your vision, and your mission can be related to that for various reasons. Right. You know, you want to empower, I don't know what. Right. You know, mompreneurs to be able to do what they want. Right. And to do that, they need a childcare. I don't know. Making things up. Right. That is not your strategy. Right. So you're going to have to keep, you can keep your big picture, like vision and mission in mind. But when it comes down to your strategy, like it really is about saying, not what am I going to do right this minute, right? So send the email today. Like that's not it, right? It's about taking that and zooming out a little bit, that 70,000 foot view, and saying, okay, I know I need to have regular communication with my clients. I know I need to have, you know, a best practice or a process in place for making sure that I stay up on my regulations. Like it's about those different kind of bigger buckets, right? And then the how is your tactics, right? Like how you do all those things and who does it is going to come after you've determined that, like, oh yeah, I do need to be on a regular, you know, I do have this sort of larger playbook about that's going to make my business successful and serve my client.
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally get that. It's interesting too, because I think a lot of people don't have that. They don't necessarily take time to also figure out that vision of where they want to go, but they'll say, I can make money doing this.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's fine, right? I mean, it's something that they asked us in our you know, the scaling cohort that I was in, that I thought was really, it was interesting. Again, very foundational, right? But they said, you know, are you a lifestyle or a legacy business? Like when you're done and you decide that you want to retire or quit or close or sell, does the business live on after you or does it just go with you? And there's nothing wrong with either answer, right? But if you are trying to build a legacy, that is very, very different than if you are just like, no, I'm going to do a thing until I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. I feel like lifestyle businesses are becoming more, I want to say they're becoming more okay to do, where for a long time people were really pushing that, like, you need to get VC investing, you need to grow fast, everyone's mm-hmm. goal should be to be a unicorn. And the reality mm-hmm. is, like, that's not for everyone.
No, it's not for everyone. Yeah, absolutely. I think that entrepreneurship, you know, writ large can serve people in a number of ways, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're going to try and be the next Amazon, right? And also just, you know, that idea is so absurd. Like, no one is the next Amazon. Like, Amazon wasn't Amazon, right?
Amazon, like, didn't set out to be the next Amazon.
Correct. Right. Yeah. But it was because I think the things that he did right was he had a very clear, like, mission, right? It was very simple. He had that vision. And then he just never deviated from the strategy of how can I serve customers better, right? And that was the core of every single thing that every decision that he made.
Yeah. Do you have other brands that you think are doing that well?
Yeah. So one that's kind of fun that I would say is, you know, I mean, it's not a behemoth, but it's, you know, it's big enough. There's a mountain bike short company, actually a mountain bike gear company that caters to women riders, has really cool gear called Shredly. And I think it was funny because I was having this conversation with a colleague of mine about, like, product market fit and customer research. And they literally sent me an email that was like, hey, we're rounding into 2024. You know, obviously send it to everyone, right? You know, hey, we're rounding into 2024 and we really want to hear from you. What patterns, colors, styles, and products matter the most? Can you take our 5-minute survey and, like, just tell us what you care about, right? What kind of writing are you doing? What kind of, you know, where are you writing? What kind of product do you wish existed on the market? And I'm like, this is customer research, guys. This is a company that has hundreds of SKUs, is probably doing a couple $1 million in revenue, has a full team behind them. And their first question at the beginning of the year was, hey, what do you want to see from us?
Yeah.
Right?
What do you care about?
Yeah. What do you care about? Another good example, I think, that I just learned about was there's a chamber of commerce in Tennessee that sends out an email just every Tuesday. And it's just two questions, right? And like one's fun and one is more focused on like getting to know the people on their list better, right? But they do it every week and they make it as digestible and simple as possible so that over time what they get is a narrative of who they're serving and what matters to those individuals.
Oh, I like that because it's also helping them collect zero party data.
Correct.
Which is
100%. Which you know, is critical.
Yeah.
And it's done in a way that's very transparent, very authentic. Yeah. And just yeah. works.
It's also, you know, kind of novel ways of getting to know your customer better, where it isn't just asking them for feedback, but it's finding ways to engage them to solicit that in a way that maybe for them is new and unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and isn't just kind of like, you know, a 25 question survey that happens. Right? Yeah. It is instead like, hey, just, you know, tell me, you know, what are you working on right now? What are your goals? You know, where are you at? Where's your head at? You know, what's been working? What do you wish you had access to? You know, and you can learn a lot by just having a conversation. And I think that that's the thing that it's really easy to get caught up in, like, yeah, and kind of everything else, right, about running a business. The end of the day, it's about people.
Yeah. And it's so easy to lose track of that in all the tactical work. I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that a lot of entrepreneurs face is they start working in the business and then don't spend as much time working on the business itself.
Absolutely. And we're all guilty of it. I mean, the number of times that I have been down a rabbit hole, like really trying to just like, man, I got to get this thing right. And it's like, well, yeah, but hang on, you know, take a second and be like, when was the last time you actually stopped and took a look at, you know, the more practical things that are going to tell you if this is a good use of your time, right? And I think you said it earlier, but like it feels really sexy to be like, oh yeah, man, I got business cards and I'm running a Facebook ad, and you're like, cool. Yeah. Do you know that anyone wants your product? Have you validated that someone will pay you for this thing?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, because like, oh, but that's hard and scary, and I don't want to do that, then like, okay, well, like it can't really help you. Like you need to go back and do that before you can expect any level of success.
Yeah, there is an entire world of companies that just throw money at trying to find product market fit, and they will just run and they'll spend like $250,000 plus a month on paid advertising to try and fake product market fit, where if you spend time really knowing your product, knowing your customer, and building for like an actual market failure that has some revenue behind it, you might only need to spend $10,000 a month to get that same result.
Absolutely. And I mean, and it can be a really smart, I mean, you can do it for $250 a month, right? If you do it right. I mean, you know, if you're the brand new business owner who really just needs 20 people to say yes, right, for you to know that you have an idea, right, that is worth pursuing, like you can, I mean, but yeah, you're 100% right. Like it ads can be a really smart way to find out if someone cares, right, about your idea or concept. It can be a shortcut to to finding, you know, qualified buyers or people who are interested. But you have to be, again, you have to be strategic, right? You can't, you know, you can't shove a half-baked product in front of them. Like the thing that you're putting out there needs to be a little bit more intentional towards garnering that feedback. And I think that it can, you know, but yeah, it can be a really, you know, if you've got, you know, and I think that that's the other thing that especially new business owners don't appreciate. Like the adage, like you have to spend money to make money. It sounds like shitty, and it is, but what they mean by it is that you have to have enough resources set aside to do the work that it's going to take to find your ideal customer so that you can then go out and like make money, right? And if you can't sustain yourself during that learning phase, then like then you may have jumped ship a little bit too early, right? And so like I think that that's really the message behind that, right? It's not go run a bunch of ads so you can reap the benefits. It's no, like have enough capital and a clear enough strategy to know like, okay, yeah, I do have $500 or $5,000 more realistically, right? To set aside towards some paid market research. Cool. Right? Like that shouldn't bankrupt you.
Yeah. And there's ways to do it, you know, inexpensive. Reaching out to people in your network, sending emails, doing like even LinkedIn polls. Like there's so many kind of creative ways that you can gather some of that where it might not be 100% your ICP on the nose, depending on how you're putting it out, but it's going to get you some really good data.
Yeah, and absolutely. And if you're doing it more, I think, you know, the thing about organic is that it can be slow, but I think you'll find that the quality of connections that people make, right? Because like I have another kind of crack brain idea that I've been testing, and I just started off asking for a certain audience, you know, to come to me and offer feedback. And I got a couple calls. I was like, I think I'm barking at the wrong tree. Who do you think I need to talk to? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I think actually this person might be a better fit. And then slowly I started to work my way into the circles where the people I was talking to were actually the right people.
Yeah. And you don't always know that until you, it's like when you go into the workforce.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Internships exist for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. lets you kind of go try stuff out. You don't always know what you want to do until you start doing it. And it's the exact mm-hmm. same thing talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
it's so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I learned a lot. You know, I remember I started off saying, like, hey, I think I need to talk to some insurance, you know, agents. And they were like, okay. And so then I got on the phone and they were like, who do you actually need as a broker? And I was like, okay, well, tell me more about that. So then yeah. I got on the call with a couple of them. And then they're like, well, actually, I think who you really are after is whatever. And I just sort of like, and so then I would start to ask, hey, do you have, you know, are you willing to make a warm referral to someone in your network that you know has 15 minutes to answer some of my questions? And they were like, yeah, totally. Right. And so, but it took time.
Yeah. People are always so much more willing to help and talk to you than anyone ever thinks to. Like, yeah, it always amazes me how kind and gracious complete strangers can be when you need someone for stuff like that. Yeah. Well, Larissa, thank you so much for joining us today. For those curious, all links will be in the show notes below. And, you know, let us know your thoughts on LinkedIn or in the comments below. And again, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I'm excited to, always happy to pick up the conversation. If everyone, you know, from this wants to reach out, you can find me on LinkedIn, you know, or yeah, just around the internet in general. So come hang out.